Good morning, sisters and brothers. Sisters and brothers, arise. The living God has called us together in witness, in celebration, in struggle. Reach out towards each other. Our God reaches out towards us. Listen now with me to the hymn, Nearer My God to Thee.
Nearer My God to Thee. Nearer to Thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be.
Opening prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we will praise your holy name for your endless mercy upon each one of us. Empowered by your vision, I boldly speak your promises, promises of life, of good, of goodness, of kind and of kindness. You have given me and us the voice of authority. You enable us to dream dreams of a better world. O Lord, I will stand next to you for the rest of my days, refreshed and new. I will sing praises unto you until my work is done. Amen. Congregation, as we gather this morning, it is our Communion Sunday, where a familiar litany will be used all around the world. Familiar because it's the words most spoken at the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. So I wish to invite you into that familiar space. A space that beckons a sense of holiness when celebrated. The discourse of the Holy Communion. From when I was little, I remember the silence when it was time for the Holy Eucharist to be shared. The thoughtfulness of the celebrant, the solemnity in the words that were spoken. Holiness of the moment commanded of us to listen and respect what was being done in that moment. The hearing of the litany was comforting because it was familiar. But now, friends, in my adulthood and my interpreting of my world, I began to listen differently. Because our world is very different. Different to that of our childhoods. It's harder, it's crueler, it's uglier, and it is very, very violent. But as I speak these words and set the context, I also want for us to recognize there is beauty in our world, in creation, in people, in the things we do as we create memories that will last forever. But I want for you to consider with me afresh the example of the Holy Communion and the familiar words. You will remember this morning, it begins with these words. On the night he was betrayed. I wonder if you would allow those words to just sit with you for a while. On the night that Jesus was betrayed. We understand too well that line. Each day, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, we bring our searing betrayals to your table, Jesus. But we do this in anticipation of your peace. On the night we are betrayed, we acknowledge that our partners have lied to us, our children have turned on us, our parents have wounded, some even abused us. Friends discarded us. On the nights or days we are betrayed, we admit our jobs have vanished, leaders have deceived us, our security has so diminished that we have to consider the safest routes from home to school and work, shops and church, as though it were a normal task and not the sign of a fearful people. Certainly not what you had in mind, Holy God, when you created the earth and said, all of it was good. And in these times when we are all betrayed, we have protested the slow, cold violence of systems that freeze all that we might be. When we have challenged the powers that prevent our doing justice, loving our neighbors. When our principalities fray the nerves of our body politic and our dissidents serve time, we run again into the sacramental line where holiness and treachery collide. On the night he was betrayed. But our story does not end here. For the night in which you were betrayed, you sought the company of those you loved and shared a meal with. And at this meal you sat and talked and calmed the fears of your friends. So gracious and loving host, on the morning that we are awake, hurt, angry, empty, and betrayed, won't you help us, Lord, to remember the extravagant feast you have prepared for us and for all people. Invite us afresh, loving God, through your Son Jesus, to taste the love that sets us free. Further on, the familiar words that says, this is my body broken for you. These words lead me to believe that perhaps solidarity invites us to share not only bread that is broken, but our own brokenness, Jesus. Again, the familiar words, this is my blood poured out for many, leads me to believe that perhaps solidarity invites us to share not only wine poured into glasses, but our lives poured out. People of God, betrayal leads to brokenness. We know through our own experience or from our own sharing, the outpoured lives of women, sisters, cousins, friends we know. The betrayal of relationships in terms of colleagues, personal and other. The betrayal due to economic instability, financial power, The one who earns the most will always have and claim the power over the other. The betrayal of intimacy. Yeah, I wonder if you, when you have time, would consider the reading from Genesis chapter 38. Betrayal of power positions in your everyday context, when you feel ignored, when your voice is not heard. These last few days, we've been made aware of the Reverend Dr. June Dolly from the Anglican Church, who slept in a camping tent outside the Archbishop's residence in Cape Town in protest because she was told that she lied when she reported sexual rape by a colleague. Betrayal when there's an expectation for you who hold a certain position to deliver and to perform in a particular manner, becoming of the role that you hold and you don't. We are betrayed through broken promises. I wonder if you'd remember, as little children, we played the word, "I swear." In other words, what we meant was, "My word is my honor." This list is certainly not exhausted. I know that you will recognize betrayal in other areas of your life, the lives of the people that you hold dear. The question that we as the church need to respond to collectively is, how do we respond to the betrayal and the brokenness of the person in our pew, the one who calls wanting to speak their brokenness? In the year 2017, I was part of a synodical meeting, and at this particular meeting, the doctor Arthur LaRue, in his theological paper to the Synod, made the following comment, and I quote, "Gender-based violence tears into the fabrics of society, and it demands serious interaction." How does the church engage with this wound? At least, I want to believe, we need to recognize that the wound is real. Dr. LaRue goes on and he says, "Theology penetrates the experienced living reality of the concept of God's people. It is more than just the organic concept, body of Christ. It negates dynamic movement through time, the continued journey of God with his created people into all environments." The words that stand out for me: recognition that violence is a wound, and one that you just cannot put a band-aid on and believe it is healed. The words that stand out for me in his statement: God created for his people a world of love, recognition, self-worth, dignity. How does the church address gender-based violence? One of the things we need to recognize is that preaching is not enough, but it is a start. Because the fact is, gender-based violence always involves an imbalance of power and control, and we need to speak truth to power. Consider with me the ways in which we can respond. Firstly, find your strength, daughter of the risen Lord Jesus, and anchor yourself in the midst of what matters most. Secondly, find for yourself people who will listen to you over and over again. In missional language, they say, find a space into which you will be listened into wellness. Thirdly, find your voice. Speak the uncomfortable truths that is only yours. Also, we need to disable the power base. You see the factory settings of systemic patriarchy. The language that you tolerate as opposed to celebrating you as a person should not be embraced. Bad behavior. Remember, people treat you the way you allow them to. So be mindful of what you permit. I'm reminded of the words, everything you do teaches, and what you don't also teaches. Women of God, daughters of the Lord Jesus, remember whose you are. In the context of our ecclesial spaces, metanoia means thinking about your thinking. So it means that you need to turn your mind regularly in a Christward direction. Reading the Bible, unpacking theology in our current context cannot be with the factory settings in place. For many, it is very hard to say the Lord's Prayer and utter the words, Our Father who art in heaven. Because we recognize that there's often one whom we stand next to who's father abused. People of God, we need to rethink and reframe the narrative we hear and how you articulate it for yourself and for the new world that we are literally fighting for. I encourage you to confront change and take action. We need to learn to unlearn the habit we've been taught to keep quiet for the sake of peace when there is no peace. Understanding very well that abuse, if not healed and dignity restored, will perpetuate cycles of violence and oppressive behaviors. As we prepare our hearts to celebrate the love feast, you will not hear these words that are familiar on the night he was betrayed. But as you take the bread and drink the wine, let there be a mindfulness within your spirit that there's a broken spirit of a sister, a brother, a child, somewhere in the universe that needs the love of Jesus. And as you eat and drink the body and the blood of Christ, may you call forth on that spirit within Jesus that heals and restores, to heal every broken spirit, every broken heart, and every broken body. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Listen now with me to the hymn, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice. I'm certain you will agree with me that the table of the Lord that we are so accustomed to, that we cannot gather around because of the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions, on worship and worship gatherings. And so our coming together in our homes around the Agape meal, the feast that's been prepared for us, demonstrates the ample provision of our Heavenly Father. And friends, there is no poverty in His providing. I want to believe that as you sit at your table prepared for sharing with your loved ones, with others, that you will celebrate with me the Father who gives enough to each one of us and to spare. As we prepare now to go over and share in our meal, our love feast, our agape meal that's been prepared for us, I ask that you follow with me the liturgy that we have prepared in preparation for this time. It is responsive, and so I will be the leader, and I ask the people around the table that will serve with you that you will respond with the words where it is highlighted as people. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks to you for all that you have done, for all that you are, and for giving us enough in every area of our lives. Such sufficiency that we have enough and to spare. Amen. How wonderful it is, friends, and how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony. Welcome to this meal. In the name of Christ, we come to share in God's love. Not only do we come to share our food and our lives, but we come to break bread together and open ourselves to each other. We come to express our faith and our thanks. May God bless this food and may God bless this fellowship. As we share our food, we give thanks for this abundance and we remember those who do not have enough. May God give food to those who are hungry. May God give us a hunger for justice and a determination to serve those who hunger for food. On the table, friends, in the midst of loved ones with whom Christ is present, the symbols are set to remind us of the promises of God to each one of us. A candle to remind us of the way. It is the Lord who says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Bread, a symbol of our fellowship, a reminder of God's love. I am the bread of life. The bread that I shall give is myself for the life of the world. The juice is a symbol of our fellowship with God. And so we say together, God, we welcome your presence with us. May the food and companionship we share and nourish our bodies, hearts, and minds. And may our spirits be refreshed as we live in the light of your presence with us now and at all times and at all places. Amen. People of God, let us eat and drink together. As we share what we are most thankful for is a prayer of thanks. I indeed give thanks to God for the security of a home, the warmth of the love that we have for one another, and for the provisions of our holy God, so that we can eat and be nourished, sustained for our journey. And we know that as we eat together the love feast that's been prepared for us, we pray that God will bless it to our bodies and us to his service. Amen. For those gathered around the tables where you are, behold the fragments of our feast. Our meal is ended, but God's banquet continues as we go forth from this place. Let us, the people of God, take this banquet into the world and never give up until all people are fed, mindful that we always have enough and to share. May the peace of Christ be upon you, and may you be channels of peace and justice. Amen. Let us pray. O God, from my early years, you are the one who has taught me to be mindful, to stand in your authority, and to rely on your strength. You are the one who has pushed, prodded, and shoved me to the edges. When I whimpered out of fear, it was you who whispered, "Woman, stand upon your feet and speak that they may know me in new ways." It was you, O God, who planted the thought to reach those who stood on the edges. You have done great things through women, O God. You have named them Mary, Grace, and Sarah. You have named each one of us and called us good. You have marveled at our beauty, O God, and you have named us wise beyond all thinking. And you have said, "Let them speak." You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have named me see many troubles and calamities have revived me again from the depth of anguish. You have brought me up again to breathe deeply and sing out new visions of heart, of hope, and of home. It is in you, Lord, that we, your people, put our trust. Amen.
Gloria and I wrote this back in 1963, back when your mom and daddy were just courting, right?
Just courting. Yeah, right.
Shackled by a heavy weight, the load of guilt and shame. Touched me.
touched me, said, oh, he touched me. Let me hear you sing it, and oh, the joy.
Benediction. People of God, may the God of Eve teach us to dance. May the God of Hagar bring us comfort in the desert. May the God of Miriam bring companions to us when you struggle. May the God of Deborah teach us courage for our battles. May the Christ who knew Mary and Martha show us the way of balance. May the Christ who healed the bent over woman heal our pain. May the Christ of Mary Magdalene send us out to proclaim our story. In the name of Christ, who is memory, hope, and authority of the future, grant us peace today and always. Amen.